Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast in which we journey through the X-Files series, which ran from the year 1993 to the year 2002. This series also spanned 9 seasons and 202 episodes, a spin-off series, 2 movies, and a reboot show, which is airing in January of 2016. I am JP, one of your hosts, hailing out of Southwest Pennsylvania, and podcasting with me tonight, podcasting out of South Carolina, is your friend and mine, Mr. Kyle Thomas. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great, JP. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, man. I love recording podcasts at night. It's so peaceful and therapeutic from my hellish days in the real world.
Yeah, I was going to say the hellish days of corporate America can really drag you down. And actually, talking about the X-Files is something I love the X-Files, as you guys know at this point. And it's very, like you said, therapeutic to kind of get back into the show, get back into this, you know, obviously this first season, and just talk about things. I mean, it's really, really cool to do. So pretty stoked on it.
Absolutely. And as always, this show, this podcast will be filled with spoilers. We feel that it is not easy or near impossible to talk about each episode without spoiling them in these long format reviews. With that said, guys, I would enjoy if you guys would give us a rating on iTunes. We are the X-Files podcast. That would mean so much to me, and Kyle would do things with you if you were to go and rate the show for us.
The worst things to you guys if you were to do that.
The best, like, depending on what type of person you are.
If you're a freak, you're a freak. But, I mean, you don't know until you do it. So once you do it, you know, then you'll see. So yeah.
Also, you guys can check us out at 22shotsofhoodsandhorror.com and www.horrorphilia.com. Those are two homes. Horrorphilia is hosting our podcast, getting us on iTunes. We really love them and all their podcasts. It's in a podcast network with lots of big things coming out. And I actually want to give a shout out to Exploding Heads Horror Podcast, homie Brandon Orlak, and the homie Dave Z, as well as a future homie who I don't know yet, but I assume he will be my homie because those guys are cool, are hosting a podcast called Exploding Head Horror Podcast, and it just debuted its brand new first episode over on Horrorphilia, so check that out as well. You can check out us on YouTube, Double Shot J, The Horror File, and all of the other awesome links. They're in the description. You guys can check them out on all of the different outlets where you can see us. The links will be in the description. So Kyle, what are we doing tonight, buddy?
Tonight we are on episode 6, guys. Episode 6. It's crazy that we've been doing this for, you know, 6 weeks now. This
straight
is the 6 week.
As well.
Yeah. Straight. Well, yeah, this is a straight 6 week we've been doing this. It's season 1, episode 6. This episode's called Shadows. It originally aired October 22nd of 1993. It was directed by Michael I think his last name's Lange. Michael Lange, or Lang, possibly. It was written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong, who actually directed a previous episode that we actually did.
They wrote a previous episode.
Wrote a previous episode that we actually did.
I'm actually getting Michael Cattleman for the director, actually.
I may have said his name wrong. No, it's actually directed by Michael Lang, actually, on the on the Wikipedia page. It could be wrong, though.
Yeah, because I'm on a similar Wikipedia page, and it has Michael Cattleman. So we do not actually know. Somebody needs to do some fact check.
Very, very odd, guys. I'm on the IMDb page, and it's directed by Michael Cattleman. But if you actually go to the Wikipedia page for the episode, it says Michael Lange. Now, could be the same person. Maybe just he had his last name changed or something.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. This guy directed tons of TV, everything from Beverly Hills 90210, American Gothic, ER, VR, 0.5, whatever that is, Dark Angel, Jack and Jill, Phobia, Smallville, Jack and Bobby, True Calling. He did the movie Prime Evil, which is actually probably the most interesting thing on there because it is a horror film, and just tons of TV, man. I mean, this guy's done TV after TV, and he really kind of, one of his earlier stuff was The X-Files and Quantum Leap. So definitely somebody who is, you know, going to the thing that we always say he's fitting the build of one of these X-Files directors where they kind of live their life in TV for the most part.
Yeah, and I don't know what it's like to be a TV director, but usually from what I've seen, a lot of the directors that, you know, from TV shows like The X-Files, Quantum Leap is another one, which my dad absolutely loves that show. Back in the day, he loved that show. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Beverly Hills, 90210. Directors from these kind of TV shows, a lot of them did stay on TV from what I've seen. I've actually kind of looked that up since our last couple episodes. A lot of them stuck to TV for the most part. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or maybe they just didn't want to do films, or how that goes in that kind of world. But it's interesting to kind of see, you know, see a lot of the 90s, you know, shows, a lot of the TV, because 90s was kind of the boom for TV.
Absolutely.
And they just kind of stuck to TV. So it's interesting to see.
Yeah. So after that, we actually usually talk about the viewers in the ratings. And this episode is interesting because it actually has a drop off from the previous episode, and it has quite a big drop off, about 2 million viewers. So this one had 8.8 million viewers, and I'll tell you guys right now, this is tied for the lowest viewership in season one. So this and another episode that we'll get to later in this podcast, not this podcast, but future episodes of this podcast, have both came in at 8.8 million viewers, which is the lowest.
Which honestly, for this episode a little bit, it's sort of, that sort of surprises me in a way, and it doesn't. So I don't know. I mean, I know that you know, something I did read about this episode, which may have been involved with the viewership, is that they, the directors want to focus on future episodes of the show, or the writers wanted to focus on future episodes of the show and kind of, you know, nitpick and kind of figure out where they're going to go with the direction of the show. And this is one of those filler episodes in a way where they wanted an episode where Mulder and Scully were to help somebody, like was to, you know, try to help somebody. And then they were going to kind of focus on, while this episode was being written, focus on future episodes and where they could take the direction of the show. So I don't know if that had any kind of impact on it. Because it was just that way, the way that they kind of like told, I guess, the writer, we want to focus on Mulder and Scully helping somebody in this episode and not dealing with the conspiracy aspect of things and dealing with the governmental aspect of things. So I don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, there's a little bit of trivia to this episode that it was inspired by the 1982 horror film The Entity. Have you ever seen The Entity, Kyle?
I actually own The Entity, and I have, and that's really, really interesting to see, because you do see the dynamic of that original, that Entity movie kind of in this episode. So you do see a lot of that, you know, kind of fall into this episode. So that's really cool. I saw that as well.
Yeah, The Entity is one of my favorite horror films from that era. It really is super good until about the end of the film. The final act kind of falls apart, but the early stuff is very powerful.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can see a lot of these X-Files episodes, even up to the ninth season. The writers and the directors and a lot of people that worked on this show were hugely inspired by horror movies, and you really, you just see as you go along how the show changes, how things are written, things are done. It's really, 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 really interesting to see. But yeah, anything else, JP, before we get in the episode?
No, man. Let's jump right into it, man.
Let's jump into the episode, guys. So this episode, like I said, it's called Shadows, season one, episode six. It starts out with a woman crying, and this was kind of funny to me, and I actually notated this. That's why it was so funny. She was looking at pictures of previous presidents of the United States and crying. I think there was a Richard Nixon picture, and she was actually crying. I don't know why, I just found that funny, because I was thinking in my head, because I hadn't seen this episode in a long time, I was like, why is she looking at a picture of Nixon and crying? That's just the weirdest shit. Like, very odd. But she's looking at a picture, you know, some pictures of some presidents. She's crying, and she starts, you know, you see her packing things up, putting them in a box, kind of indicating that she may be leaving wherever she's working at, possibly. She states that she's never met someone that has killed themselves to one of her coworkers. Her coworker kind of walks in and is like, you know, hey, what's wrong? You know, it's been weeks. And she looks at her and says, I've never been friends with somebody that actually killed themselves. So as the friend leaves, the sign on the desk, there's like a little kind of pew sign on the desk that has like a quote on it. It actually moves, like just out of nowhere, just moves, kind of like somebody would have pushed it. And she doesn't notice it. And it kind of pans off at this point in the episode. She leaves. It pans back in, and it kind of shows her at an ATM. And I notated this as well, which was so funny that I notated this. I said here in my notes that there's a woman, which is the main character of the episode, the woman that just left the office. She's standing at possibly the oldest ATM ever. Because this ATM just looked, to me, I just laughed when I saw it, because it was like those little round buttons, and there's like a ton of buttons. And it just looks like a really, really old ATM. She gets mugged. She gets picked up by two guys, taken off into this alley, you kind of don't see them. You don't see those characters again right at that time. A couple hours later, two guys walking by the alley, they're attempting to find a place to crash. They jump up to grab this ladder to kind of climb up, you know, in New York alleys and alleys in Chicago and stuff. There's like ladders and like side buildings you can climb up. They're trying to pull down this ladder, and this guy just falls down and he's completely dead. And that's where the intro kind of plays. Like, it kind of cuts off in the intro. The X-Files intro starts playing because this guy's like dead hanging from this ladder. So it leaves you with a little bit of a cliffhanger there about this ladder that just falls down with this guy dead there. And you kind of get the idea that this guy is one of the muggers from the, you know, woman standing at the ATM, that something happened to this guy. So, so far, I mean, what did you think of the opening cliffhanger, JP?
Decent. Not my favorite, definitely. I'm actually having a slightly hard time remembering the opening, because little kind of peek behind the curtain, guys. Normally we record these episodes on Monday. It is now Tuesday. So I kind of fucked up I watched the episode too early in the week, and I'm starting to forget it. I blame Kyle.
Yeah, it's definitely my fault, JP. No, we'll get back into it. Look, pretty much the intro plays. Mulder and Scully walk into a morgue, which is kind of like a common theme. It's always like Mulder and Scully walking into a morgue. They walk into a morgue. Mulder instantly can tell people are like, there's people standing in the morgue that don't look like FBI. And he's like, hey, you guys aren't FBI. What are you doing here? And they're starting to ask kind of questions. And the people state that the people that are standing there, it's like this black guy, this woman, and then this nurse, or like this morgue attendant, is stating that the two bodies are showing signs of extreme levels of electrostatic charge. And it's the two bodies from the two muggers. They're laying there. And, you know, it's kind of odd that they're showing signs of electrostatic charge, because it's like, where would that come from kind of deal? Unless they got struck by lightning, which is kind of odd. And they also state that the death of these guys was around 6 hours ago, but the body temperature is still 98.3 degrees on both these men.
Yeah, which is super weird, because no body would stay warm that long.
Yeah, it's very, very odd for a body to stay at that temperature for that long. So, Mulder and Scully are kind of like, WTF at this point. And Mulder, you can kind of start telling that his mind starts racing.
Yeah,
Like it always does. And they also state that the throats of these men were crushed from the inside of their body.
Which, like, try to even think of that in your head. Like, it doesn't – it's, like, extremely, like, hard to even imagine how that even works. So that's definitely weird.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's hard to comprehend
something like that would even come to existence. But yeah, their throats were crushed from inside their body. Mulder states that that he lied about, you know, stating, you know, because pretty much what happens at this point, Mulder and Scully kind of leave because these two people that are standing there don't want to give them any information on anything that has to do with these men. But these two men are, you know, these two people that are standing there that aren't from the FBI won't give them any information, and they're kind of being suspicious about things. So at this point, Mulder and Scully leave. They, you know, they want to know if Mulder's ever seen anything like this on the X-Files. And Mulder's like, you know, I've never seen anything like this in the X-Files. I don't know what you want me to tell you. And Mulder and Scully leave. As they're walking down the hall, Mulder states that he pretty much lied to those two and stated that he has seen episodes of this on the actual X-Files, like certain cases that were, you know, throats being crushed from the inside. He says it could be
body staying warm, shit like that.
Yeah, body staying warm. He states it could be psychokinesis. And that this could be caused by psychokinesis, basically. And, you know, Scully's kind of like, I don't think so kind of deal. She's
yeah,
still
and she actually references Carrie, which I, being a horror fan, I love.
Yeah, that's I didn't even notice that. Yeah, she does reference Carrie, doesn't it? I do remember that she said something along the lines of, you know, so what are they going to be like Carrie going to the prom or something like that, which is pretty really cool that they did that. They threw that in there.
Yeah, and, she said, you mean how Carrie got even at the prom?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. So, like I said, there's a lot of horror references in this show, which is really
Yeah, there's
really
actually another one later on where Mulder says or Scully says they're here when Mulder talks about poltergeists. So, two horror movie references in this episode. I love that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to see, you know, how they – and like you said, this is inspired by the movie The Entity, which is really, really cool too, that they kind of threw that in, you know, a lot of aspects of that into here as well. So, yeah, to kind of pick up where we're at this point, it kind of pans out to the woman that was crying earlier, and she was, you know, she's given her a 2-week notice at her job. So it's the woman that, you know, she didn't see the little, you know, pew basically move earlier, but she's back out at her job site where she was crying earlier, and she's giving her 2-week notice, and her boss tells her that he won't let her leave, and his wrist, basically the chain that's wrapped around his wrist, it gets really, really tight, like someone is pulling on it. He kind of like goes up to her and he kind of grabs her face and he's like, you're not going to leave. I'm not going to let you leave. And you can tell that somehow these two know each other pretty well. And then all of a sudden his like wrist chain gets really, really tight, like somebody or something is like, you know, pulling it closer together. And he kind of takes it off and he's kind of like, you know, weirded out by it. And she kind of just walks out. And he was kind of explaining to her that, you know, hey, you are a part of this company. We need you here. And she just kind of pretty much told her or told him that she just did not want to be here anymore after it seems like whoever killed themselves. So really at this point, Mulder and Scully are watching the tapes from the ATM the night that, you know, those two people got murdered. And they see the woman that just got that just quit her job. She gets scooped up. It's pretty much the same exact scene from the opening scene, but being shown through the ATM camera's eyes. And they pause it and they see an apparition, which is basically like a weird ghostly figure standing behind you know, the woman being taken away, standing behind this car.
This shitty 90s fucking ATM cameras.
Oh, it was really shitty. Like, I would have just thought it was a smudge on the camera or something, to be honest with you. But Mulder, like, looks and he's like, who's that? And then Scully's kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's not really anybody. And then he's like, no, it's somebody standing there, basically. But it looks like a big-ass, like, blotch, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you can bear, like, even me, I would be like, oh, it's fucking light or something.
Exactly.
Because it looks so crap.
It looks like super crap. And then Mulder and Scully go to the woman wanting to quit. You know, they find her, the woman that wants to quit her job, the woman from the original, you know, the one that got mugged. And they go to her house and they show her the surveillance photos. And they pretty much tell her, do you know anything about these two men that were found dead? And she didn't even know that they were found dead, or at least she played it off like she didn't know that they were found dead, which I'm pretty sure she knew that they were actually dead when she got away, for whatever reason. But Mulder pretty much gives her his card at this point, his FBI card, and he's like, you know, call me if you remember anything, you know, when she is comfortable to call him. Mulder and Scully leave. They get in Mulder's car, and the car just all of a sudden out of nowhere gets, like, taken over. Like, it's almost like something was driving the car other than Mulder, and it just goes in reverse.
Yeah, and at this point, if you haven't really noticed, as an audience, we're aware that kind of like, okay, there's some presence that is doing this stuff through almost like sort of a telekinetic way.
Yeah, exactly. Like something is there and causing all this to happen in some kind of a weird kind of telekinesis way. So that's kind of where they're at in the process of, you know, kind of doing this investigation. Like,
which, if you've seen The Entity, it's very reminiscent of the key antagonist in The Entity.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say it's a lot like – you can tell that they took a lot of this from that. I mean, it's very, very easy to see.
And The Entity is so scary, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Check it out, guys, if you've never seen it. It's an amazing movie, except for the end.
Yep, it definitely is a great movie. So – And so, yeah, it goes in reverse, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it won't stop. It hits another car. And this was – I didn't write this down, but I do remember this now. This was a hilarious scene. Like, it hits – they hit this car going, like full reverse, like 90 miles per hour. And you see, like, the car – you see Mulder and Scully's car kind of, like, turn around, and you see inside the car. It shows this, like, one scene, and it's, like, two, like, stunt actors that don't look anything like Mulder and Scully in the car. It's so – they're, like, dressed up like them, but you can tell it's not them, like, clear as day.
I didn't even notice that.
I noticed it, dude. It was like a split second.
But. You know something that I was thinking when that scene went down? You kind of never really think about stuff like this when you're watching TV shows and things. But I was at work watching this episode, actually. And I started thinking about, like, what if I, like, wrecked a car, like, my job's, like, car? Like, would it be a big deal if that actually happened in the FBI? Like,
I think that's actually Mulder's car because he kind of
His personal car.
It's I think it's his personal car because he was talking about, and this is the next scene basically. They're at like the car impound lot, and it may not be his car, but he mentioned to Scully that it was a brand new car and that it was his baby. I don't know if that means that it's his personal car, if it's his work car. I have a feeling that it's probably his personal car, but it's really, really hard to tell. It doesn't really explain it. But, yeah, I mean, if you wreck any kind of car, I think with the FBI it may be a little different because, you know, I don't know if they consider that his fault. I mean, he was pretty much telling them that the car kind of took over on its own.
Yeah,
so.
Like that. Anybody's going to believe that.
Yeah, well, Scully may have backed him up. So.
Still.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of odd.
But seriously – like, actually thinking about it, it's like, it's funny how, like, that would be such a big deal if somebody wrecked that, if me or you wrecked our car, right?
Oh,
yeah. It's just funny in TV how it's, like, never really portrayed as, like, a thing. They just kind of get a new car. It's not, like,
they're
a kind of
just,
long,
like, played off
drawn
or something
out
like
thing.
That. Yeah,
it's just
pretty,
funny. You think about stuff like that sometimes when you're watching TV episodes.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was very funny to see like kind of how they played that. So, but yeah, to kind of get back into this, they're at the impound lot. They notice that the lights on the car, or the front of the car, are still on, even though the car's turned off and it's pretty much dead because they wrecked it. Mulder states that the lights are being heated by an electromagnetic charge, which kind of indicates that, you know, something that happened to the car to go make it go into reverse was caused by electromagnetic charge, obviously. And the woman, you kind of learn her name at this point. The woman from that got kidnapped or got taken away from the ATM in the first scene and was crying and stuff. Her name's Lauren Kite. Mulder thinks that she had something to do with the crash of the car. Scully thinks that she has an accomplice, like somebody else maybe rigged the car for her to get rid of them. So Scully still is kind of skeptical on the fact that, you know, it could be a apparition or like a ghost or something that could be causing this. And then it kind of talks about Lauren being upset about, you know, it shows Mulder and Scully kind of staking her out, like they're kind of watching her at this point because they think that she has something to do with all this. And it shows her getting upset about them taking away the parking spot of the guy that committed suicide. His name was Howard Graves, which was her original boss. And they're still kind of staking her out. They're kind of wondering why she's upset about this parking space. They're staking her out at a graveyard and kind of watching her at this graveyard. She leaves and Mulder and Scully get out and they start asking about Howard Graves because he's buried next to a lot of his relatives. They start asking about, you know, what happened to this person that's in his, you know, that was his, you know, next a grave next to him that had his last name. And it ended up being his daughter who died whenever she was 3 years old because he forgot to latch the pool gate. This is Howard Graves, forgot to latch the pool gate. And I guess she got out and drowned in the pool. So, yeah, it's they're kind of hinting at maybe he had some – this guy that committed suicide maybe had some, like, deep emotional problem. You know, his daughter died by accident because it was his fault. And maybe this is what – you know, kind of where they're at with the – you know, kind of the investigation. Like, maybe he did commit suicide. So they kind of they Mulder and Scully go and they start taking a look at some pictures that they had taken on the stakeout. And they enlarge the photo, one of the photos of Lauren standing in her house, and it shows that Howard Graves is actually standing behind her. So, you know, at this point, they're thinking maybe Howard Graves isn't dead. Maybe he's still alive. and it kind of cuts out and shows Lauren asleep in her house. And she's starting to hear kind of footsteps in her house, like somebody's walking around in her house while she's sleeping. She gets up and grabs a bat and hears Howard's voice talking. So, you know, her ex-boss, she was actually the secretary for Howard. So it's her ex-boss, you know, she's hearing him kind of cry, there's like a voice talking, and then she kind of goes into the bathroom where she's hearing the voice, and there's a ton of blood in the bathtub, and she keeps screaming and crying that they killed him, talking about that somebody killed Howard other than what they're saying, he committed suicide. So Scully and Mulder are kind of still skeptical at this point. They're kind of looking for an underlying reason to all this. Scully thinks that he fabricated his own death. He's kind of making this up. He's still alive somewhere. They kind of looked at his death record and realized that his organs were actually harvested. So they start trying to identify where this guy's organs have gone to, like, you know, who these organs went to. So they can try to figure out, hey, is this guy actually, did they actually have his organs?
So they want to cross-reference the DNA.
Pretty much cross-reference everything. Lauren goes, it shows a scene where there's Lauren goes into Howard's office, and the new boss is in the office. He's actually hiding behind the door, and Lauren said the new boss had Howard killed, and he told her. So pretty much where it's at at this point in the episode is you have Lauren's character, you have Howard, who is dead, who was her original boss, and then because this episode kind of gets confusing a little bit, and then you have the new boss. And Lauren's trying to say that that the new boss had Howard killed because of something that he knew he was trying to cover up because he didn't want Howard to tell anybody. Lauren knows, but she's being kind of threatened not to say anything by this new boss. The new boss is trying to hold Lauren back. Lauren calls Mulder in this scene and tells her to meet him at her house. And she gets to her house, and there ends up being some people that break into her house. It looks like people that the new boss has sent over there to try to kill her, to kind of shut her up so they don't have to worry about her. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something starts attacking these men like a ghost. Like, you just see them keep getting hit and falling over, and the woman, there's like a woman and a man, the woman actually gets her inside of her neck crushed, and it keeps, you know, the ghost keeps punching this guy. Mulder and Scully rush in. They actually finally get over, and this is a really cool scene, and I don't know if you noticed this, JP. Mulder, when he runs in, he's the first one to run in. He sees this guy being held up in thin air. Like, this guy's being held up choked in thin air by something, and he's dropped, and immediately Scully comes in. So it's like all the scenes where she could possibly be thinking that it could be, you know, an X-File or like something that's phenomena, she never gets to see because it just like jumps, you know, to the next scene basically.
Yeah.
Or she misses it. So I just thought that was kind of funny. Scully didn't see the guy being held up in the air.
Yeah. It's like, oh, how convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. Scully didn't get to see it. And there's actually a really cool, and I'll get to this later on in the episode, there's a really cool quote that Mulder says to Scully here in just a little bit that is very kind of pivotal in the series. After this man gets choked, another one gets their neck crushed, and they're pretty much dead. Lauren, you see her in the corner crying in her house. And then it cuts to the next scene where she's being interrogated by Mulder and Scully and those original guys that aren't FBI agents, who are trying to they're still trying to identify the bodies in the first scene. They're trying to figure out what happened to these people at her house. They just want to know kind of what's going on. And this is where you kind of find out what's happening. It's kind of a mystery drama at this point. So you got Howard, who is apparently protecting Lauren. He's a ghost, apparently protecting Lauren because of a work deal he was going to cancel. So there was a work deal with somewhat of a terrorist group they were going to be trading kind of like weapons and specific things in this, with Howard and his company that were going to be illegal. And Howard was actually knew about it, and he was going to cancel the deal. So you find out Lauren tells everybody that the new boss guy actually had Howard killed to kind of cover up that he was going to cancel this deal, and because this was going to make him a lot of money. And then you got Scully telling Lauren You know, at this point, Lauren's very distressed. You know, she told Mulder and Scully everything that she knows, and she says she knows he was killed by this new boss guy. Scully tells Lauren to tell Howard she loves him, and Mulder is kind of bewildered at this point. Mulder's like, "Why are you telling her to tell a ghost that you that she loves him?" Like, the look on Mulder's face was he was like kind of like very bewildered by this and just kind of taken back because he
yeah,
he knows
Scully. That's not Scully.
Yeah, and this is where the quote comes in. So he looks, you know, Lauren walks out. She's kind of calmed down, and Mulder looks at Scully straight in the face and says, "What are you doing, Scully? You do not believe." And that's kind of one of those pivotal things where it's like, "I want to believe," and you know, that's
yeah,
kind of Mulder's tagline.
He's kind of generalizing what "believe" actually means. He's saying, I think he's kind of meaning in general, you don't believe in anything, pretty much. He doesn't say like you don't believe in ghosts or poltergeists. He just says you don't believe, as if believe is something more than just one thing. Which I liked how that played out, how that
yeah,
was said.
Really interesting to see how that played out, and they set that scene up. And you kind of see Scully does not believe. She says to Mulder that she's giving Lauren hope to solve this case instead of her chasing ghosts around. She just wants Lauren to have hope of getting this case solved, them figuring out what's going on. Then it kind of cuts to a scene where they get enough evidence to raid with a warrant. They raid the company that Lauren did work for, that Howard worked for, and the new boss works for. They're raiding this company. They go up into the offices, start pulling out everything, trying to find some stuff on what's going on with Lauren. You know, make an idea of what exactly is, you know, Lauren's telling them, and they end up not finding anything. So it's kind of a bust. You know, so they're actually still going through stuff. Lauren's in the office with Mulder. Mulder's kind of like, you know, we haven't found anything. We don't know what's going on. And you can tell this new boss guy is a really easy, like, he talks his way out of anything. So, you know, he's basically talking his way out of pretty much everything that has to do with, you know, him having this illegal deal going on in the company and possibly killing Howard. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're in this office with the new guy, with the new boss guy, and the ghost or Howard shuts the door, and he actually starts to crush the new boss's neck, like his, you know, inside of his esophagus, you know, while Lauren's yelling, "Please don't kill him, please don't kill him, you know, let's just figure out what's going on, let's put him behind bars," kind of deal. And all of a sudden, all these papers start flying around in like a tornado and circling around the room. And you see this kind of paper opener like come out of nowhere at this point and starts to cut open, like it kind of heads toward the new boss. And then it kind of cuts off, and it heads toward this wall and cuts this wall open, and you end up finding a floppy disk on the inside of this wall. They find all the information. So basically the information that was being covered up was being hit on this floppy disk. It's the early 90s, guys, so that's why it was on a floppy disk. Apparently enough information to put a guy away for an eternity and for illegal deals is 32 megabytes on a floppy disk in this wall, which is pretty hilarious.
I didn't really think of it like that, but that's funny.
An entire illegal terrorist deal – and this guy being put away for life lies on a 32 megabyte floppy disk. It's pretty hilarious. But then toward the end of the episode, Mulder and Scully are talking about how the boss is being tried for connection with this illegal deal. He's being tried for the murder of Howard, and you know, he's going to be put away for a long time. And then you just see Lauren. She's like, "Thank you guys for the help," and she just leaves. She's just out of there. She's gone. You know, she basically gets in her car, gets all of her shit from her house, and leaves. And toward the end of the episode, this is the final scene of the episode. Lauren, you see her working at a new office in a different state, kind of doing what she was doing originally in the office she was. She's like a secretary. And this woman got mad at her for bringing a paper a little bit like 20 minutes late to her, like a report. And you start seeing the woman at the desk, like her coffee cup shaking, kind of indicating it may be Howard. So it kind of leaves you with that little cliffhanger. You know, it could be like a train coming by, or it could be like Howard is still with Lauren, you know, kind of following her around as a ghost. And then it cuts off, and it kind of leaves you to think at this point, you know, what could it be? So yeah, guys, that is season 1, episode 6 in a nutshell, Shadows. got through that a little bit quicker than normal, but
yeah.
It's pretty much, honestly, this episode was very straight to the point. I mean, it did have that little
straight
murder.
Straight to the point.
It was straight to the point for the most part. It had the little, you knew that it was going to be a murder mystery kind of deal, and it just had that little, you had to watch all of it to get the idea of what exactly happened at the end, but it was, it was a ghost mystery episode. It wasn't really it was a phenomena episode. It wasn't anything to do with the government conspiracies, the background of the X-Files, or anything. So
I will tell you one thing that I read on the IMDb trivia section, and it is when Mulder and Scully are in the library, if you look at the newspaper report above the story of Howard Graves' suicide, there's an article about a killer who extracts his victim's livers and escapes from impossible locations. Which, of course, is a reference to Eugene Toombs, who was in, I believe, episode 3, Squeeze?
That is a reference to Squeeze, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool, a little callback.
That is pretty cool. That is awesome. That's surprising. Yeah, I mean, there's some certain episodes where they do reference past episodes, which is really, really neat to see. It's, like, usually hinted. It's not really like they don't go into it in the plot, but you can tell that they hint specific previous episodes, because this is obviously, there's a background linear story to the X-Files, as we all know at this point, but each episode has a different theme behind it, and they do hint at, during certain episodes, hint at previous episodes and things of that nature. So that's,
yeah, I'm a big fan of that in TV shows.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So before we go any further, Kyle, I think that it's about time to get into our tier ratings and what we final thoughts on the episodes.
Yeah, so let's get into our tier ratings. Do you want to go first, JP, this time?
Yeah, I'll go first. So let me tell you a little story, Kyle. So normally I watch these episodes Sunday night. We record Monday night, so a little around 24 hours before we record, so they're fresh in my mind. This week I made the very big mistake of not only did I not watch it Sunday night and we did not record Monday night. I actually watched it earlier in the week, which was more like Thursday night. And I actually, Thursday day at work. And then we didn't record until tonight, which is Tuesday. So I gotta be honest, man, with that combined with the convoluted nature of this episode, I really didn't remember a whole lot. And honestly, as I was watching this episode, I really wasn't all that into it. Now, after I read afterwards that it was inspired by The Entity, honestly, it got me way more curious, and I wish I would have known that going into the episode. But I just felt that there was a lot going on. There was a lot of different characters that I didn't really know, and I just felt like it jumped around a lot, and that it was just, the story was just wonky to me. I couldn't really follow it. And that's partly due to watching it at work, but overall I just felt like I kept having to remind myself to pay attention to this one. Just did not catch my interest at all. So I'm coming in on a low tier on this one, dude.
Yeah, I really completely and utterly agree with you on that. This episode for me, it was kind of boring for me.
As hell. And I was expecting, it says that they were trying to be more horror like in this one too. And besides the references that I caught, which I got really excited about, you're right, it was boring.
Super lackluster episode. And something I will say this, I enjoy more of the episodes where it's either a conspiracy type episode, an alien kind of abduction episode, or like maybe a Monster of the Week,
is a Monster of the Week, but it's not at the same time.
This is more of a paranormal episode, in my opinion. Yeah. They do have a lot of
Monster of the Week episodes. Doesn't really mean monster. It just means it's an episode that doesn't follow the main story arc.
Exactly. And like you said, JP, this is just a boring episode for me. Like I did find it hard to figure out what they were talking about as far as the, and that's why I had a hard time kind of explaining it to everybody, is because it was really hard to kind of interpret what they were talking about with this deal that Howard was being, that he knew about and he was trying to cancel. It didn't really, it explained it, but it was in like extremely hard to understand terms. And
if they would have just went a little simpler with this one, and this episode was October 22nd, it's middle of the Halloween, granted it's in 1993 that this is happening, but yeah. I just felt like that this was a bad choice to put it this, like the sixth episode in after the Jersey Devil. It just, I don't know, man, I wasn't feeling it. No wonder it did lowest in the ratings of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say it was definitely not a – I mean, so far out of all the episodes we've seen, I would honestly probably rate this the lowest.
Yeah, I think it's the worst one that we've seen.
I think so far it's the worst one. I mean, I know you didn't really enjoy the Jersey Devil one last week.
Jersey Devil's way better than this one.
I did enjoy the Jersey Devil one, but I mean, I really – really dislike this episode. I just didn't like the character development in this. Like, the whole Lauren character was boring to me. Her story, her crying was boring. I hated the newer boss guy, the guy that was kind of threatening her, was kind of like not very threatening to even look at. He just kind of like was giving like random threats that didn't even make a difference. It just didn't do it for me, man. I definitely give this a low tier rating as well. That really sums that up. And I think that a lot of this had to do with that this was a filler episode, so they can come up with more episodes for the later seasons. They just were like, hey, let's throw this in there.
It does feel very filler-like.
Yeah, super filler. So, yeah, I mean, I guess this is a low tier episode for both of us. I mean, if you guys are listening and, you know, you check out our Facebook page, or not our Facebook pages, but our YouTube pages, definitely let us know what kind of a tier rating you guys would give this. I mean, I would definitely be interested to see the listeners get involved about these ratings and give me what you think. I mean, I would love to see that. That actually interests me to, you know, I would be interested to see if somebody would give this either a medium or high tier rating, to be honest with you, and what their, you know, what they would say, why the reason why they rated that, you know, the episode that. So,
yeah, and we actually have been getting a little bit more comments here and there, which I'm very happy about, actually.
Yeah, there's one guy on the Facebook page that always comments on all the ones that you post. I guess he's listening to each episode. If you are listening, I can't remember what his name was. That kind of
I think Glenn posted on the last one, didn't he?
Maybe it is Glenn. I think it is Glenn.
Marco, I know, posts on the videos as well.
So I appreciate you guys listening to us and listen to me ramble. But yeah, if you guys like, you know, shoot, you know, go over to our YouTube channels and shoot us a comment over there as well. I think it'd be interesting to see, you know, tier ratings and what you guys thought of the episode as well. And I love that kind of stuff. I love hearing reasons why somebody either liked or disliked an episode. And I would love to hear if you disagreed with us on this. I mean, I love hearing stuff like that. So
yeah, and back on episode 4, Martin VP. Actually, a guy who used to listen, or still does actually listen to our 22 Shots podcast, he actually left a comment and said that he loves the show and likes the podcast the way it is. Maybe some trivia on the episode or the show in general before going into the content. Maybe a little less content of one episode, maybe doing multiple episodes on one podcast. So I actually did try to throw in that little bit of trivia for him, and I'll try to make that a regular thing if there is any trivia. Granted, sometimes there's not trivia on every episode, but if there is, I'll try to point it out.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's awesome, dude. That's episode 6. We're rolling through this series, dude.
Rolling
we're like, we're only like 3.75 years away from finishing now.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're about three and a half years away from finishing this series. But you know what? It's fun to do, and this is one of those things I've always, you know, wanted to do, an X-Files podcast, and it's so far turning out pretty fun and interesting. So I hope you guys keep watching and letting us know what you think.
And guys, stay tuned to what we're doing in the future, because we got some pretty cool things, not the X-Files podcast, but maybe something else coming out pretty soon. So definitely keep your ears and eyes open.
Sweet. And yeah, I'm actually excited about the idea of what we got going on coming up. I'm not going to, you know, not going to spoil it right now, but we got something really interesting coming up. And, you know, we also do the Ash vs. Evil Dead podcast. I don't know if you guys.
Well, that was actually one of the things I was talking about, which we have not announced yet. So, Kyle, take it away.
My bad. I'll just go ahead and say that. That's one of them. That's actually going to be announced pretty soon, probably anyway.
Well,
so
it's announced now. So go ahead and give the peeps.
We'll go ahead and announce it now. We do me and JP are doing an Ash versus Evil Dead podcast where
same format is this, just a little bit shorter because the episodes are shorter.
I think our last episode was like 25-30 minutes long. We just basically go through each episode in this first season, talk about the episode, give our ratings on the episode. That actually probably should be up around the time, you know, this next episode of the X-Files is going up, I would assume, correct?
I would assume it should be right around there, maybe a little after. We'll see how it goes.
But yeah, I mean, we'll, you know, just let us know what you guys think about that. I mean, we wanted to throw that out there and do that since this is a new show, let you guys know what we think. We're huge. We like horror movies, obviously, but we like Evil Dead as well. It's one of the classic horror icon or horror movies in the genre. So,
really, and cool, honestly, it just gave me an excuse to watch the show because I don't really have time to watch just random stuff unless I'm doing it for, you know, this, like podcasting. So yeah, they gave me an excuse to watch it. It's a short run. It'll be fun. What we're going to do is we're going to cover the 10 episodes, and then obviously the show will take a break for a year. And during that summer break, we'll probably cover the four movies as well in each separate podcast as well. I think that'll be cool. So
sweet.
And then we have something else planned. We're not really sure on dates with that yet. That'll be a while from now, but it's going to be pretty awesome. I think it's going to be pretty big when we actually do it. So stay tuned to all things 22 Shots, all things Kyle, all things Horophilia. I am JP. That is Kyle. Any last words, Kyle?
That's all I got for you guys, and I appreciate you guys listening, and wait until the next episode, or listen to the next episode, and check it out. We're going to be uploading these to our YouTube channel as we always do. Check it out on there. We'll upload it to the Facebook group, and I appreciate you guys watching.
We're done. We're through. We're out.